Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Randall White. Voters throughout California are receiving their 2020 ballots this week in order to meet the state's deadline set back in May. It's the first time in state history that all voters will get a mail-in ballot automatically and will likely be the largest mail-in participation rate ever. It's all part of an effort to control the spread of COVID-19 during election season by limiting contact at the polls. I will speak with a few people who are running the election process at the county level coming up in just a bit to hear how that's going and any specific challenges you may need to know about. Have you made an election plan? Are you going to use mail-in or will you visit a polling place? Shoot us an email to insight@capradio.org. That's insight@capradio.org. Or use the Twitter hashtag #AskInsight. We'd love to hear how you're going to cast your ballot this election season. But first, we want to check in with the person who runs elections on the state level. That's California Secretary of State Alex Padilla. Welcome to Insight, Mr. Secretary. It's nice to speak with you again.
Well, thanks for having me back. Happy E28, 28 days till Tuesday, November 3rd. And I'm glad you're promoting what we've been saying for a while now. Folks, make a plan. Decide how you're going to vote, whether it's by mail or in person, and hopefully early if you can. Let's try to keep those lines a little bit shorter on election day because we're expecting a big turnout.
And the sooner the ballots get in, the easier it is just for everybody that's working on the process, right?
Exactly. You know, every election, people start asking, when can we expect results? But why does it take California so long to finish processing ballots? So we have given counties the ability to start processing, especially the big influx of vote by mail ballots earlier this go around. You know, no preliminary results until after the polls close, but hope and help counties get ahead of the game a little bit. And voters can do their part by returning your ballot early. You know, as you know, every active registered voter will receive a vote by mail ballot yesterday was the deadline for counties to send out those ballots. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, keep an eye on that mailbox. And voters have options for how to return their ballot by mail or to any ballot drop box in their county between now and Election Day, or, of course, dropping it off in person at any in-person voting location, either on Election Day or during the early voting period.
Secretary, there were a lot of news accounts about the ballots being sent out yesterday, but my brother-in-law got his ballot late last week in San Luis Obispo County. Some counties sent them out earlier.
Exactly. Yesterday was the deadline by which counties had to send out vote-by-mail ballots to every active registered voter. You know, for the big, big counties, they usually do it over the course of a couple of days just to process them through the Postal Service efficiently. Some counties choose to get out a little bit early, so that's normal. Folks getting the ballot earlier is a good thing, better than getting it too late. And again, multiple options for how to return the ballot. I should say, you know, number one, remember to sign your ballot. Once you've completed your ballot, you place it in the official return envelope and make sure to sign the outside of the envelope. That signature is important as one of our security measures. Voters who forget to sign, or maybe the signature doesn't exactly match your signature on file, the county will contact you to try to cure any signature issues. We want to make sure your ballot is counted. And remember, it must be postmarked on or before Election Day in order to be counted. We're extending the deadline by which vote-by-mail ballots can arrive to 17 days after the election, but it must be postmarked on or before Election Day. So sign and date the envelope and return it earlier rather than later if you can.
That extension is over concerns of the Postal Service being overwhelmed?
Right. I mean, current law says postmark on or before Election Day and arriving within 3 days of the election. We've heard concerns about potential delays in the Postal Service, so we've extended the deadline for this November just in case. If we look at the ballots that were disqualified from the March primary, the bulk of them were ballots that either were postmarked too late or arrived too late. So we hope this addresses a big chunk of those issues for November.
The signature checking, that happens prior to election date when the election is called, or that happens after 8 p.m. on the 3rd?
So again, we are affording counties the option of starting the ballot processing early before election day, including that signature verification. But, you know, you don't expect to see any preliminary or tentative results prior to the polls closing on election night.
Got it. So the LA Times has a story out today saying some 2,100 LA County voters got ballots missing one important thing, and that's a way to vote for president. What do you do in a situation like that?
Right. So we caught wind of it right away, reached out to the county, and I know you have other guests here during this hour. I serve as the chief elections officer, but in partnership with counties, because it's ultimately counties that administer the election. They're the ones that print ballots, distribute ballots, collect ballots, count ballots. And so to their credit, LA County sort of pinned down the error pretty quickly. It's one precinct that's been impacted. And so by phone, by email, et cetera, they're reaching out to all the voters, the 2,000 and some voters impacted. They have reissued correct ballots are going out first class mail today. And so, all the logistics in place to make sure voters can register, vote, and make sure every vote is counted.
Well, one area where we do want to lean on you, and that is, as many of us heard last week from President Donald Trump, he's urging his supporters to go into the polling locations and to, in his words, watch very carefully. In California, this is called being an election observer. Secretary Padilla, I'm hoping you can walk us through how this works in the state. What are some of the things that you can and cannot do if you're going to observe?
Right. So I'll go through what state law allows and does not allow. But at the end of the day, I think it's simple common sense and civility that's in order. And I framed that because over the last couple of weeks, there's been from Trump, unfortunately, there was calls a couple weeks ago for potential assignment of law enforcement authorities to the polling place to ensure the integrity of the election. That is not allowed via state law. And then more recently, it's not law enforcement officials. He's, calling out for poll watchers with a certain tone and context. We got to recognize that. So here is the law in California. Do we allow for election observation? Of course. Folks are allowed to observe activity around the polling place, even in county elections offices as ballots are being processed. We like to be transparent. It's part of accountability and integrity of elections. What's not allowed is any harassment or intimidation of voters, right? That's very clear in California law as well. Amongst voters' rights is the ability to be able to cast your ballot free of any harassment or intimidation. So it may be a fine line, but it's an important line to recognize. We've got to respect the sanctity of voting locations, no electioneering in proximity of the polls, and certainly no harassment or intimidation of people exercising their right to vote.
So many of us wear things nowadays and forget we even have them on. I have a lot of Cap Radio insignia'd shirts and such. So what about political messages like Ruth sent me or Black Lives Matter? How is something deemed a political message that's supporting one candidate or issue over another?
Again, another fine line, but an important fine line, because we just as we recognize the right to vote, we do recognize the right to speech. But law is clear in and around voting locations. There can be no electioneering. And so that's why you don't see, signs and campaign T-shirts and candidate buttons and whatnot during in the course of people voting at a voting location. But slogans, that's a little bit looser. So a red hat, a T-shirt, Black Lives Matter, the example you gave, those are allowed. But again, taken into context, we have those poll workers and election supervisors that will ensure, if it's just you exercising your right to vote, that's one thing. If you're also sort of verbalizing, chanting, creating a scene, somehow disrupting the process for others, that is not allowed. So I go back to what I said at the beginning, a lot of common sense and civility for our fellow citizens.
Are there fines or legal charges that one might face if they break any of these rules? And what exactly would get an election observer kicked out? Is that entirely up to the poll workers' discretion?
It is up to the poll workers' discretion. If there is an issue, voters or poll workers can either contact their county registrar or voter. We do have a voter hotline set up at the state level, 1-800-345-VOTE. And I'll be honest, the vast majority of calls we get is, where's my polling place? Simple questions like that. But if there are issues or problems that you encounter as you're trying to cast your ballot, give us a call. We have protocols set up with other state officials and county officials to respond to any polling place and address any issues. So the law is clear. Let's be respectful. We all value our democracy. Let's respect each other's rights to exercise our right to vote.
800-345-VOTE.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Or you can drop us an email. We have a one-stop shop for all the voting and elections information the voter can think of at vote.ca.gov. That's where we've encouraged people to register to vote. By the way, there's still time if you haven't registered to vote already. That's where you can sign up for Where's My Ballot and track your ballot as it's working its way through the delivery process and receive alerts on the status of your ballot, including confirmation when your ballot's been received and counted. We have cybersecurity information there, polling place lookup information there. And it's not too late if folks are willing to sign up to be a poll worker this November. You can do that at vote.ca.gov.
Yeah, Secretary, I got an email and a text message yesterday regarding my ballot, which I thought was pretty cool. So what changes are there here in California that are specific to the pandemic that people should know about as we head toward November 3rd?
Right. So look, every election is important and we work hard to make sure it's as accessible for all eligible voters as possible and secure. We've heard a lot of election security questions over the last 4 years, but during the pandemic, there's another layer. We want to make sure that the experience is safe and healthy for voters and election workers alike. So in the two general categories for people who vote by mail, great. Thank you. Probably no more convenient and physically distancing safer way to vote than from the comfort and safety of your own home with multiple options of how to return the ballot that I mentioned earlier. For people who need the in-person option, we've worked with counties to make sure we have as many safe in-person opportunities both on and before Election Day. So polling locations may have changed to larger facilities that accommodate physical distancing, etc. If you vote in person, bring your mask. And kind of like when you go to the grocery store, it's not the same anymore. Look for the signs, physical distancing, hand sanitizer everywhere, workers wearing all the protective equipment they need to keep themselves and you safe and healthy. We're also encouraging anybody who can to vote early. If you vote by mail, send your ballot in early. If you vote in person, don't wait till Tuesday, November 3rd. If you can go early, go early. Help us try to keep the lines a little bit shorter on Election Day. We are expecting a big turnout, so you can do your part by voting early.
Just a couple of minutes left here, Secretary, and I want to ask you some other things. One of them is the U.S. Census count. Where are we in California? Is that still underway and will continue through the end of October?
Great question. I appreciate the softball here because it is important. I guess the results of litigation or the state of litigation has restored October 31st as the last day to respond to the census. California as a whole, just shy of 70% of households have responded to the census. And that puts us a couple of points ahead of the national average, which is a good thing, right? The census is important for determining our level of representation in Congress and the level of federal funding coming to each community for things like healthcare, for education, for infrastructure, and more. That means a little bit more than 30% of households in California have not responded to the census. There's still time. If you haven't or anybody you know hasn't, send them to my2020census.gov. You can respond to the census online. You can do it by phone in multiple languages or fill out that paper form if you still have it at your residence. But it's important that you do it sooner rather than later, before the end of the month at the latest, but sooner rather than later.
And one final question here that is tangential to the election. Should the Biden-Harris ticket win next month, you could become California's first Latino senator replacing Harris's seat. How does that process work? Is it solely up to Governor Newsom?
Yes, California law says the governor would fill a vacancy if that happens. And I'll preempt the follow-up question and just say this. It's an honor to have my name in that conversation, but if the last 20 minutes are any indicator, you know, I'm laser-focused on ensuring an accessible, secure, and safe election this November.
California's Secretary of State Alex Padilla, thank you so much for taking time with us this morning, and here's to a successful election.
Thank you, and please continue to stay safe.
Up next, we'll be joined by registrars from Sacramento, Placer, and Yolo counties who will explain how to make sure your vote gets counted this election. And we are getting some email from you. We do want to hear your plans for voting this year. Are you, you know, leaning toward mail-in, or will you visit a polling place? Do you have a plan in place? Shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org, or use the Twitter hashtag AskInsight. We'd love to hear how you're going to cast your ballot, and we have the experts here to answer any questions you might have. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Randall White.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, and our focus today is the 2020 presidential election. Ballots have just been mailed out, so you should be expecting yours in the mail any day now, even if you aren't registered to vote by mail. New legislation that was passed back in May made it so all registered voters would receive their ballots by mail in an effort to limit the spread of COVID-19. But some who are not used to voting this way or are listening to messaging from the White House could have concerns as to whether their vote will actually be counted. Here to help clear up any confusion you may have is a panel of experts representing a big chunk of the population for the Sacramento region. First up, we have the Registrar of Voters for Sacramento County, Courtney Bailey-Canellas. Welcome back to Insight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also joining us is Ryan Ronco, the Registrar for Placer County. Ryan, nice to have you here.
Thanks, Randall. Good to be here.
And Jesse Salinas, the registrar for Yolo County. Jesse, thank you as well for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Randall. Appreciate it.
So, Courtney, I want to start with you, having you explain the lifespan of a ballot. This is something you indicated to us that you'd like to discuss. So walk us through that timeline.
Yeah, so it's important, especially with a lot of the information and misinformation regarding what happens to a ballot out there. We definitely want to clarify what election officials do to ensure the security, the integrity, and the privacy of someone's vote by mail ballot. So after we have the ballots returned, either as Mr. Secretary Padilla suggested, either dropping it off, mailing it back, we end up taking that ballot and doing a verification and eligibility check on it. So one, we make sure that there are not multiple ballots returned in one envelope, and we have that envelope that is actually tagged specifically to that voter's record. So we know that they only get one vote. Even if they get an additional ballot, it's that ballot, that one ballot that counts, so that when that ballot comes back, we end up doing a signature verification as well, where we take the voter signature and we do a comparison. We obviously understand signatures change over time, so it doesn't have to be an exact match, but we do that signature verification and we verify that that voter has not voted anywhere else in California. So those are the checks that we do before we count a ballot. If someone is missing their signature, they forgot to sign the return envelope, or if their signature doesn't match, we will actually reach out to the voter to see what's going on and to give them an opportunity to correct that error. And once we do that, we will tabulate those results. So once a ballot is good, we extract it to ensure privacy. And at that point, there's no way to tie that ballot to that voter's record. we process it, we tabulate it, and then during the certification period, we audit those results to make sure that every valid ballot is counted.
Courtney, I asked the secretary, but it sounded to me like it's up to the county. In Sacramento County, when the ballot arrives, is that when the signature matching begins, or do you wait until after 8 p.m. on November 3rd?
We actually start, we legally were able to start yesterday. We haven't, obviously the ballots are still in the mail. So, we have about 50 ballots dropped off so far, folks that came into our office yesterday. And then we're going to probably start our signature verification next week. So first we run it through the mail sorter, and that mail sorter will, kind of isolate any ballots that are too heavy in case someone tried to sneak in extra ballots in there. And then at that point, that sorter takes a picture of the return envelope, and we compare that picture on the envelope to the voter's registration record, and that's where we do the signature comparison. So right now, we're on schedule to start doing signature verification next week, and then we hope during the following week to actually start extracting and starting to tabulate those results. And as Secretary Padilla mentioned, the preliminary results still will not be released until 8 p.m. So while we begin tabulation, there is no way to know, to bring that all together and to know who's in the lead or who's winning or what those results look like, because it's only being done on those individual tabulators, and it's only election night when we bring it all together in order to release those initial results.
Yeah. Ryan Ronco with Placer County, I understand that you have a need for people to staff the voting locations in the Tahoe area. What's going on there?
Yeah, thanks, Randall. You know, we have interesting county here in Placer, in that we stretch all the way from the foothills to the Sierras. And so
it's a beautiful county.
Yeah, that's right. We're blessed in many ways here, but we in the Tahoe area, we're always looking for people. It seems like nearer the election than we do down in Roseville and Rockland. So, if there are people up in the Tahoe area that are interested in serving and being on those front lines of democracy, learning a lot about the process and all of the protections that are in place, then we would certainly encourage them to go to our website, placerelections.com. And click on the volunteer tab, which will open up a place where a person can apply for that job.
And Jesse Salinas, there in Yolo County, how are you doing when it comes to staffing, your staffing issues with the pandemic?
Well, at this point, thank you very much, Randall, again, for inviting me. Yes, we're doing pretty well. We actually have a number of poll workers that are in the queue. We are still processing them as we speak. But at this point, we seem like we'll be comfortable with the numbers that are currently in the queue to be able to have enough poll workers to run this election. So we're doing well right now.
Do you all know each other? It's a small group, right? Like 56 of you?
58.
58, rather. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're very blessed here with election officials to be able to support each other, work with each other to the same goal of ensuring a safe, secure, transparent, and impartial election. And we also started the Northern California Coalition of Election Officials so we could come together for joint messaging and get the word out there that your local election official is your trusted source for election information.
I could really like poke the hornet's nest and ask you where Northern California begins. Right. Yeah. But we'll leave that for another time. Hey, Anthony sent us a note, and he wants to know, how is my vote handled if I mail in a ballot and also go to vote in person? He assumes someone checks for those double votes. And Courtney, I think you touched on that earlier. How is that done, Ryan? I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, Courtney did touch on that, but it's really kind of, if you think of it as a first in process, you'll get a sense of how it is that most counties are able to handle this. And that is, if you decide that you're going to vote by mail, and you send that ballot in to us, and then you attempt to go to a voter service center and vote in person, or even maybe attempt to vote a second vote by mail ballot because you requested one as a replacement because you said that you made a mistake, then we are going to receive that first ballot by mail. We're going to see that you didn't vote anywhere else in California. We're going to give you voter history when we verify your signature, so that any other attempt to vote, whether that's at an in-person location or to receive a second ballot, will fail because you've already been marked as having voted. If you flip that on its head and you go and vote in person somewhere and then attempt to send in that vote by mail ballot, same thing. We're going to give you vote history as soon as you check in at that in-person voting location, and you won't be able to have a second ballot count for you.
Abby in Woodland sends us a note. So, Jesse, this one's for you. Abby's concerned about the problem of voters filling out their ballots incorrectly, which then would result in the ballot being discarded. How do you deal with those situations?
So I think she's probably talking about the envelope actually being not filled out correctly, which oftentimes in individuals who are doing a vote by mail, they will actually forget to sign their envelope. So we do reach out to them to let them know they're missing that signature, as Courtney had talked about earlier. And then if there is a problem with the signature, if their signature does not match, we will again reach out to them. In terms of the ballot themselves, the actual ballot, I would say oftentimes people just need to, there are directions in the voter information guide that we have of how you should fill in the bubbles, so to speak, the little boxes that we have in there to fully fill them in with the right kind of pen. That's the proper marker for us. So we encourage people to thoroughly do that. And people have to understand that they don't have to vote for every single race. If there's a race that they, a measure, for example, they don't know how to vote on that measure, they can skip that particular measure and we will still process the rest of the ballot. So we really want to encourage people to just take their time, fill out their ballot as in the proper way as directed through their voter information guide, and then submit it. And then we will process it accordingly.
So Jesse, your county, and I guess this applies also for Ryan, but your county has a couple of population centers and then a lot of rural space. When it comes to the voting in person, I know the number of polling places has been greatly reduced. So how does that work for the rural voters?
So for the rural voters, we also have some drop boxes that we put throughout the county. So in Yolo County, we talk about it being a 1-12-12. One being you can, of course, vote by mail, and we know it's a trusted way of voting. So people can put it in the mail. They can go to one of 12 drop boxes that we have spread out throughout the county. And then we have these 12 voter assistance centers. So really there's 25 in our small county of Yolo County, there's 25 different options that are available to them, and that could really serve their needs at any location.
And same situation, Ryan, in Placer County?
Yeah, it's similar. You know, when we look at Placer County, we have a lot of rural area, as you mentioned, but we also have communities that needed to have an in-person voting option, like Forest Hill, or Lake Tahoe, or even the small community of Alta. We decided that we wanted to be able to have locations there for those people so they didn't have to travel great distances to be able to find either a voting service center or a drop box. So we did place more than what was required of us in order to be able to accommodate some of those smaller communities. But we also, like Jesse and like Courtney, have placed a lot of collection boxes, ballot drop boxes out in other sections of the county so that you can return that vote by mail ballot either to an in-person voting location like a vote center or to one of those collection boxes.
So Sharon tells us, and she's in your district there, Ryan, that she usually gets the vote by mail ballot, then drops it off at the polling place. But this year, because of COVID, she'll drop it off at a Placer County drop location, probably by the 25th. So Sharon has that plan in place. Victoria used Twitter with the hashtag AskInsight and says, as soon as our ballots arrive, my husband and I will be voting in person early in Nevada County. So the polling places, I know like voting by mail. You can drop it in at any point. I imagine it varies by county when the polling places will actually be open for you to go in. Courtney, what's the situation in Sacramento?
Yeah, so each county, especially when it comes to in-person options, because our counties vary greatly in terms of population, in terms of population density. So we do have different kind of options throughout the different counties. So for Sacramento County, we're going to have our in-person voting locations, a few of them open beginning October 24th. And then we're going to have all of our 84 locations for in-person voting open starting October 31st. And all of our in-person voting locations throughout the state will all be open 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. on November 3rd, Election Day.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse, those times and days, do they match closely with Yolo County?
Sure. In Yolo County, we actually are going to start our in-person voting available at our vote centers on the 31st, that Saturday, the weekend before. And our hours of operation are going to be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we did a whole survey and outreach to the community about different hours of operation. And they selected that as their highest choice, which actually worked quite well for staff. That was what they had hoped would be the final tally. Right. So they were thrilled about that. So that'll be, again, on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before election. And then, of course, like Courtney said, the 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. election day. So,
and Ryan, same in Ryan for Placer County?
We have two in-person voting locations open now. Those are my two offices in Rockland and Auburn. Where a person could be able to come and get a ballot. And that's the same for both Courtney and Jesse as well. And in any county, you can go to the office of the registrar and be able to pick up a vote by mail ballot. But similar to what Jesse was saying, our other 26 locations for in-person voting will open on Halloween, October 31st, and will stay open for 8 hours a day through the traditional election day, which would then, of course, our poll hours are 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Sally wrote to us saying she wants to know how efficiently vote by mail ballots get counted when you compare that to the votes at a polling place. What's easier for your offices, Ryan?
You know, there are challenges with both. I would say that vote by mail processing is easy. It is a series of getting the mail. It's almost like, if you think of it as Lucy and Ethel at the chocolate conveyor belt.
I love Lucy, right?
That's right. So that's correct. I love Lucy. It's, you know, it's just a series of getting the mail, running it through a scanner, collecting an image of that envelope, and then running it through its several sections of opening and processing, examining, all of that. Voting at the polls is, in a traditional election, is checking somebody in, tearing off a ballot, having them vote that ballot, and in certain circumstances, either scanning that ballot there or taking the ballot up to the main office to count. And both have their efficiencies in this election, because more people are going to be voting by mail. It might be a little bit easier for several of us counties to process, because we might have more of one type of voting than the diversity of having two different types of very independent voting situations.
Mm. Sonia writes in with a full-blown plan. Number one, review and conclude voting decisions ahead of mail-in ballot receipt. That's some planning right there. Fill out ballot and make sure to sign it. Sign in capital letters. Number three, drop off the ballot at the nearest ballot drop box. This will help avoid USPS, United Postal Service delays. And number four, then track the ballot through wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov. And then she says, easy peasy lemon squeezy. so you can follow Sonia's advice there. Let's see, Courtney, this one's for you. Michael writes in to say, how many voting stations will fit on an arena floor with physical distancing? There will be, what, voting stations at Golden One?
Yes, the Sacramento Kings have graciously
allowed us. Uh-oh, Courtney. I'm sorry. Something went weird with your audio there. So we'll try to work that out. And in the meantime, Ryan, will the staff get paid? Is there like training, and how does all that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope my audio is okay. Training is essential to making sure that we are going to perform correctly on those election days that we'll have. So training is definitely part and parcel of what we do as registrars to ensure that those people that are on the front lines are prepared to be able to answer the questions and process the voters. And we do pay our volunteers. Every county pays a little differently, it's important to make sure that people are compensated a little bit for this time and effort that they're going through. It's unfortunately probably not much more than beer money for many people, but quite frankly, it's still important for people that are giving of their time to have some compensation. The real pay, though, and seriously, comes as a sense of doing something for your community. That civic pride is very important in this process.
Right. And Jesse, I think this next question here from Sarah is, she used the Ask Insight hashtag that, by the way, you can use any day that we're on Insight here on any topic, but people are definitely using it today. They're very interested in this. And Sarah says there's been mixed messages about voting. You know, first it was, you must mail your ballot super early because of problems with the post office. Now it's, you know, vote in person early or on election day because of various reasons. Where are we, Jesse? Like, do you foresee there being significant problems between now and November? And what's the best way for people to vote?
Well, Randall, I should share with you that I actually did a tour of the West Sacramento United Postal Service plant yesterday, because I wanted to see firsthand, because like everybody else, everybody's concerned, and myself, I wanted to see firsthand what was taking place inside the plant. And I have to tell you, I was quite impressed with their operations, and they assured me that none of the equipment have been removed from their premises, nor will any be removed in this election cycle. And their turnaround has been quite good. I mean, I would expect that you'll see ballots in the mail in the next few days, as ours landed yesterday and are being distributed. We got very positive feedback. So I think they can have confidence in the election processing through the Postal Service. But keep in mind that we do have all these drop boxes that are located conveniently throughout the county. All of us do. And so because of that, I think people have lots of options. And of course, they can always, what a lot of people do as well is they can drop off their ballots at the in-person location. So we will have an opportunity for people just to walk up, drop it off, so it's there at that location, so they can have, even if they want that extra sense of confidence that it's safe and in good hands, they have that as well if they want to see it actually at that location. And we just encourage them, if they want to do it on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday, they can avoid the lines that may exist on election
right.
day. So encouraging people to do that.
And for some people, it's just that, I don't know, sense of tradition to walk in, even if you don't fill it out there, to just drop it off. Courtney, we have just a few seconds left. I understand that you are on the line. Do you have a quick response for the number of polling spots that can fit on an arena floor?
Yeah, so with the Sacramento Kings have offered us the arena, of course, and so we're actually going to be using the main concourse, and we're able to set up 80 booths socially spaced out, and then we will definitely make some room for lining up outside as well.
Excellent. Registrar of Voters for Sacramento County, Courtney Bailey Canellos, also Ryan Ronco for Placer County, and Jesse Salinas with Yolo County. The three of you were fantastic. Thank you so much, and best of luck over the next several weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randall.
Still ahead, we'll hear from Cap Radio's PolitiFact reporter, Chris Nichols, for updates on his election reporting. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, and we are back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Insight. I'm your host, Randall White. With the election less than a month away, voters throughout California are eager to get their hands on their ballot and vote. Many of those ballots arriving likely in your mailbox today. Cap Radio's Chris Nichols was at the Sacramento County Elections Office yesterday and found some voters simply are not waiting for their ballot to arrive. And he joins us now. Hey, Chris, great to see you.
Hey, Randall, good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, so Chris, explain the scene for us at the county elections office yesterday.
Well, I was there for just a short time at noon yesterday, and several people walked in and asked officials when exactly they would receive their ballot. I think a lot of people have heard this October 5th date, and they're eagerly awaiting their ballot. But again, as some of your guests talked about earlier, that date is just the deadline for counties to send out the ballot. So most people still have a couple of days to wait before it shows up in their mailbox. Sacramento County Registrar of Voters, Courtney Bailey Canellis, who was just on, she told me that about 15 people were in line outside her office when it opened yesterday. Oh. Some of them wanted to request their ballot in person.
And Chris, you did speak with one woman who made plans to pick up her mail-in ballot in person yesterday. Tell us about her.
That's right. I spoke with Rachel Lyman of Carmichael, and she's 75 years old. She's retired, and she has been looking forward to October 5th for weeks. She told me she does not trust the Postal Service to deliver her ballot on time. So she spoke with election officials and found out she could pick up her ballot at the main office starting yesterday. So she decided to drive right over and ask for it.
As a registered voter, I want my vote to be counted, so I'm gonna make sure it is. I just feel it's so important to do this that I'm putting myself in jeopardy a little bit.
And it sounds like she lost confidence in the Postal Service after the problems with slow mail delivery this past summer, is that right?
That is right. And Rachel is not alone in her distrust of the Postal Service, at least currently. UC Berkeley poll published last week found 41% of Californians do not trust the Postal Service to deliver the nation's mail ballot safely and on time. The same poll found 42% expressed doubt in the overall integrity of the presidential election, saying it's unlikely to be fair and open.
And Yolo County Registrar, which is, you live in Yolo County, Chris.
I do.
Jesse Salinas, who was just on, says he toured the West Sacramento facility for the USPS and is very confident in the ability for the ballots to get out and get delivered and everything to be done on time. What do elections officials say about picking up ballots in person? Well, how does that process go?
Well, they are not recommending this, especially given concerns about COVID-19. I spoke with election officials around the state from San Diego to Sacramento, and they are asking people to wait for the ballot to arrive in their mailbox. They also say, as you just mentioned, that people should be confident in the Postal Service and that ballots should arrive in mailboxes within a few days. I spoke with Sacramento County Elections spokesperson Jana Haynes about this.
The only reason they would do that is because they literally think that that ballot is not going to make it to them. And we do not have reason to believe that is true, but we understand that people have fear, and that is why we have options.
And those options, to be clear, do include requesting a printed ballot and casting it at the main election office, or taking it to go, as Lyman did in Sacramento yesterday.
As we've been doing so much over the past 6 months, lots of to-go orders.
That's right.
So, Chris, someone who gets their ballot in person, the way that you've just described, is still going to have a ballot arrive in their mailbox because that's already been sent out. So what do election officials recommend they do with that second ballot?
That's correct. And I was kind of curious about this. I mean, what are we doing with multiple ballots? But if people do this, officials are asking them to destroy that second ballot. Of course, we've reported in the past, it is a felony to vote twice in an election. So the best idea is really just tear up that second ballot.
And we heard from several of the registrars in the last segment that there's a lot of double check. It, basically, however you vote first, that's the one that's counted. If you do anything else beyond that, it gets tossed. So to finish with Rachel's story, what was her experience like requesting her ballot?
Well, I asked her that. I was wondering about that. I also asked her what she would tell people who are thinking of doing this.
Oh, that was short and sweet. That was wonderful. Very professional. The average person like me, just be safe if you decide to do this. Keep your distance, and they have the safety protocols in place. Wear your mask, and it's a 5-minute process, so you're not going to be here long. I almost wore gloves. I will definitely wash my hands when I leave here.
Wise. Wash, wash, wash. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
That's right. And Rachel was wearing a mask. Everybody at the office was doing that. They were keeping a safe distance. And finally, Rachel told me that she plans to bring this ballot home. She's going to fill it out. Then she's going to take it to a neighborhood ballot drop box. Mm. And this will just be one more step in her bypassing the Postal Service.
Yeah. I mean, she's been looking forward to it for weeks. So
that's right.
Sounds like she's got her plan. We heard from a lot of listeners who have plans in place. One plan, Chris, for voters could be to go to our website. Cap Radio recently published a guide to some of the misinformation surrounding the general election here in California. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's part of our overall election coverage. It's available at capradio.org/election. And it includes quite a few of our recent fact checks, along with articles that help demystify some of these confusing election issues we've been talking about. One example of a fact check is from May, when President Donald Trump claimed that Governor Gavin Newsom was sending millions of ballots to anyone living in the state, no matter who they are, adding that this will be a rigged election. So in reality, we found, as we've talked about today, Newsom ordered counties to send mail-in ballots only to active registered voters in California. That's hardly anyone living in the state. We rated that one pants on fire.
Chris, can you give us another example of a confusing election topic that you helped clarify?
Well, just a few weeks ago, the U.S. Postal Service, they sent out a postcard nationwide advising Americans to request their mail-in ballot 15 days before Election Day and to add postage to the return envelope. This caused confusion among some in California and other states where ballots will be automatically sent to all of these active registered voters with prepaid postage. So again, there's no need to request a mail-in ballot as long as you're already registered and have participated in recent elections. Election officials are encouraging all voters to verify their registration.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk social media for a moment. I've actually stepped away from Facebook for the past few weeks. I just had to turn it off. But you have been fact-checking misinformation about the election on social media. What have you found there?
Well, after the president's false claims about mail-in voting, which have been well-documented, social media posts in August alleged that California voters would be turned away from in-person voting unless they made this change online to their voter preference by selecting no mail-in voting. And we found that's just simply not the case. We spoke with the Secretary of State's office about this. And again, voters do not need to make any voting preference change to go cast their ballot in person. People have options in California. You have a lot of choices, and you don't need to make any sort of a change this election to go vote in person.
Chris, last week we had PolitiFact National on to talk about the debate between the president and Vice President Biden. This week we have the vice presidential debate, and that will, of course, include California Senator Kamala Harris. And so because there's that California angle, you're being looped in this time around. Help people who may not know. We only have about a minute left, but How do you even begin to do that when you start watching the debate? How do you pull what you're going to fact check?
Well, I think the nice thing about PolitiFact and PolitiFact California is we have this large collection of past fact checks, and politicians do tend to sort of repeat the same statements over and over, including some of the same false statements. So we're going to go and see what these candidates have said in the past. When it comes to Senator Harris, we're going to look at her statements about her California record. That's what we focused on mostly. And then, of course, Vice President Mike Pence, our national team has fact-checked him quite a bit. We'll be looking at what he says as well.
All right. Cap Radio's PolitiFact reporter, Chris Nichols, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Randall.
And that is Insight for today. Thanks to all of you who sent in questions as well. We love to hear from you. I'm Randall White with producers Cynthia Lopez and Kyle McKinnon. We are back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.